Episode 49. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Back hanging with the OGs.
Yes, so
just me and Chris holding it down. All glory to God. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit leads this time. So before we get started, let's enter into his presence. Dear Lord God, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we come before you offering you all the praise, all the worship, and all the glory, God. Lord, I pray that this episode would be full of reverence, God. True fear, love, and respect for the Most High God, the one who has created us and through grace has given us the opportunity to be here, God, as we are not deserving of any of this, God. The opportunity, the platform, Lord, even just the ability to speak with you and commune with you, God, is such a privilege, God, that we take for granted. So I pray that in this episode we would not take it for granted, but we would look to you as our source of life and truth, God, and that truth would be spoken on this episode, God, to pour into the hearts of the listeners, God. I pray you would bless those who are listening, that they would just feel your love pouring out, Lord, that they would feel the goodness of God surrounding them, protecting them, and providing for them as you always have and always will, God. You're such a good Father. We thank you, Lord. Advance your will in this time, and we welcome the Holy Spirit in, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so on this week's episode, we're going to dig into the word reverence. And in the Bible, reverence is a feeling of awe, respect, and wonder that comes from encountering or meditating on God's character and actions. It's a deep respect that's both felt and shown outwardly, and it's often accompanied by fear. In the Bible, reverence is a natural response to God's majesty and power, and it's considered to be inspired by God himself. So, I just want to start off with a personal experience of reverence. For me, you know, I like to start every day in prayer, and that prayer either goes one of two ways. It's in true reverence, where it's a pouring out of praise and worship to God who has saved me, redeemed me, and set me free, who has given me the opportunity to speak to him, who has given me the opportunity to just pour out my requests, you know, to ask for the advancement of his will, for the Holy Spirit to cover me, my family, my friends, the community he has so graciously blessed me with, to prepare the church, to prepare his body to be united under his holy name. Or it's selfish, it's half-hearted, and it's just nonsense, honestly. It's me just talking, just spewing out nonsense because I know I need to pray so that I can have a good day. I'm not feeling so good, so I'm going to come before you, God, and hopefully I'll feel a little bit better. And on those days, the fruit is dead. It's nothing, because in those times I'm so focused on me, I'm so focused on how I'm feeling and how I'm going to make today a good day. But on the flip side is when it's true reverence, where I'm just in awe of God's love and I'm just so grateful to even be alive, to even be able to, like I said, speak with him. Like, it's such a blessing that we just take for granted. Like, we just throw out prayers like it's nonsense sometimes, when we have to understand that this opportunity we get to speak to the Most High God is such a blessing. You know, it is such a gift. The gift to be able to commune with the one who made us is something that should not be taken lightly. And it's so sad to say, but some days I just do, and I'm being honest, you know what I'm saying? So if you're in that position where it's like, I'm trying to pray, but it's not really going so good and all this stuff. This week I listened to a message by John MacArthur, and it really helped me a lot, kind of with a guideline for how my prayers should be going. And it doesn't always go like this, because it's not something that should be formulated, right? You know, it's not something that should be robotic or rehearsed. But God has given us kind of a template through the Lord's Prayer to show us the best way to pray, which, if you don't know it, it's Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that for me just, it's really changed the way I've been praying, you know, just starting it off, offering him all the glory and true worship, you know. A lot of times, like we've talked about before, worship seems like just the singing on Sunday. But worship is so much more than that, and he deserves to be constantly worshiped, not just in our prayer or our singing, but in our daily lives. You know, our actions should be worship to him. And when it's not, when my actions don't represent what I prayed about in the morning or what I read about the day before, that's how I know I'm relying on self, you know? So it's been a good check for me to kind of see where my priorities are. Is this really for God, or is there some part of me that is selfish and prideful, that's self-seeking, and that little piece of me that's trying to get it all for me? If I don't catch it and repent instantly, it's gonna rule the day, you know? And it's so important to catch those things and then turn to God in repentance, surrender to him and say, God, you know, you are my priority. Anything that is not of you or for you, God, I pray will be washed away. And that, Lord, this day is yours. I pray it's a blessing to you as much as it is to me. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things, in my opinion, I think those are pleasing to God. And when I come to him humbly and when it's truly for him, you know what I mean? It's not for me. It's not for anything I want or anything like that. It's truly for him, offering him that praise and worship he deserves. So that's just a little bit of what I've been walking through this week, you know. It's something new that I'm practicing, and I really, really want to stay locked in with it, because so far I've seen fruitfulness come out of it. You know, it changes the mindset, it changes how you approach the day, because it's just like it shows how important every little thing is. We look over the little things because sometimes they don't even fly on the radar. You know what I'm saying? We don't even hear that little bing, bing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? The little radar?
No. What bing bing of a radar?
You know when it's like an airplane got a little radar?
Oh, it's got the circle?
Mm-hmm.
Bing.
Perfect. So this week, let's lock in. Keep that radar flowing.
That's fire. Did you read the definition of reverence?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't even know. But yeah, so, and the whole thing, he brought it into worship, but which is a part of reverence, I guess you could say. I was, I don't know, we literally, to be honest, real prepared, because we came up with this yesterday, and but it's awesome because Raheem, shout out Raheem, he's in a lot of the podcast now. Yeah. But I told him that we were going to talk about the reverence of God, and he talked about Isaiah 40, which is, I read it, and it's fire, and I'm going to read that. What I will say is my biggest thing is so obviously reverence and prayer. So, you know, not just, it's really the whole idea for me is mainly focusing on the language that we use when we talk to God or when we're talking about God with other people. And for me, like, I can be real willy-nilly, shout out John Piper. I can be real non-reverent about the way that I speak about God, or when I speak to him, talking to him like he is, you know. Because people will use scripture and say, like, well, it says he's a friend and, like, all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but he's not a friend like that. Like, I don't go to God and say, like, I'm about to say something crazy that I would. Like, I'm not in my prayers, like, cursing and, like, you know what I mean? Because that's crazy. You know what I mean? And sometimes, sadly, I do curse, right? Like, when I'm talking with a friend or, you know, but it's like, although he is a friend, you know, and, like, people also use the father figure, and like they relate their own relationship with their fathers to like how they would treat God the Father. And it's like, again, it's not really the same thing. You know, when I come to God, I need to realize I'm coming to the highest being who is far beyond what I could grasp in the, you know, limitations that I have in the physical world. And that when I do speak to him, I should be coming to him with, you know, a heart posture of understanding that, understanding who my God is, that he's always been, and that he is a sovereign, almighty God. And, you know, so yeah, we're going to, I mean, talk about, I guess we'll start off with the prayer side of things. You know, I'd say like throughout time, my prayer life has grown immensely. And that was like one conviction I had throughout my relationship, which was a little while ago. But it was, you know, not getting on my knees when I spoke to God, right? And it was out of a place of, you know, my own pride that I'd say, you know, he doesn't care if I get on my knees or anything. And for me, it just became like, this is God. Like, I should bow down to the King, to the one who sent his son to die on the cross. And it wasn't a thing of like, You know, I know a lot of people would do things based on works, but I tend to not really do it until, like, I really have that, you know, God literally will just move me, like, into a point of, like, I need to do this, right? Like, this is something that, this is God, you know what I mean? And, like, he'll touch my heart in a way. So I had the heart posture of, like, I want to get down on my knees when I speak to you, you know, and I feel convicted. Even, like, if you, like, lay down in your bed before you, like, going to sleep, and then I'll be like, dang, bro, I didn't pray. All comfy. I'm cozied up, bro, in them sheets. Bro, I got some soft blankets, dude. But I'll be all cozied up, and then I'm like, bro, I got to get on my knees because, you know, I forgot to pray, and then get down on my knees and, you know, have that conversation. And it really does bring me into that point of, like, you know, it makes it easy to start that prayer of like, God, you're the holiest, most almighty. And the fact that I'm even speaking to you right now is crazy. You know, like, just think about, like, somebody famous, you know, who, us athlete or something, right? And, like, how you would speak to that athlete, right, who is literally not even compared to God. And think about how you would treat them and how you would be talking with them, right? It would be, like, it wouldn't be the same as, like, somebody, you know, like, your brother or your sister, or, like, somebody you've known for a long time, right? Like, it would be, like, you know, you'd be really conscientious about every word coming out of your mouth. And that's, I think that was, like, throughout time has been, like, a thing for me. And it's not at all from a place of, like, you know, oh, I have to because God would be upset if I didn't or anything like that. It's just been out of a place of, like, everything that he is and who he is deserves, at the very least, for me to get on my knees, bow on my knees to my king, yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, I like how you, heart posture has been coming up heavy recently.
It's because it's fire, bro. We need it. It's
good stuff, yeah.
That's what we need.
And I think the heart posture and our alignment with God is so key in this talk of reverence. You know what I mean? Because how are we supposed to have a heart that's postured after Christ? How are we supposed to be aligned with our Creator if we're not doing the work of prayer, of reading Scripture, and of worshiping Him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's impossible, because if we don't have that guidance from Him, we're left to our own, like, our own self. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yep.
And that own self is going to lead to destruction, to chaos, you know,
yep,
to greed, to all the what is it, the fruits of the flesh, right? That's you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Romans.
Yeah. And He laid it out very clearly that there's fruits of the Spirit and fruits of the flesh, you know? And so when we're not aligned with Him, it's a lot easier to fall into that flesh. It's a lot easier to lean back to our old ways and stuff. But we're called to walk in the newness of Christ, you know? We've been made new. We're no longer called to walk in our old ways or conform to the ways of the world. You know what I mean? And in Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So what does it say? Equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us for what is pleasing to Him. You know what I'm saying? And the only way He can work in us and equip us is when we're welcoming Him in constantly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's something that I struggle with, because in the morning I'm so desperate, you know, for God to be, like, within me, for the Holy Spirit to be activated and moving.
Yeah.
And as the day goes on, I catch myself in this dangerous cycle of being like, okay, God, thank you for getting me through that. Now I'm good. The day's over, work's over, I'm at the crib, I can talk crazy to my wife, I can be lazy, I can skip out on reading Scripture tonight or praying tonight because you got me through the day, you know?
Bro, I be having the opposite.
Really?
Bro, because it's at work, and then, like, I feel like I'm safe when I leave work, because work is, like, treacherous, like, worldly,
yep, bro,
craziness.
No, same thing, but I need to be so locked in with the Holy Spirit while I'm at work, because if not, I will be overwhelmed by the world,
dude,
like, consumed by it, you know?
Yeah.
Because think about it, like, we're coming into contact with, like, 10, 15 people who have no care, no love for God, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're consumed with self. Not even worldly,
bro, like, evil.
Evil, bro.
Yeah.
When you're confronted with evil and you're not equipped by the Lord, dude, you're shot.
Yeah.
You're going to fail every single time. Think about all the stories in the Old Testament where they're going up against like crazy armies. You know what I'm saying? Like they're outnumbered by tens of thousands, right?
Yeah.
But the Lord, you know what I'm saying? The Lord won that battle. The Lord fought that battle.
Yeah.
So if God is not within me and I'm stuck to fight on my own, dude, I'm going to fail every single time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's so sad, bro. Like, because I know that, you know what I'm saying? It's very easy to say that right now. It's very easy to read it, you know what I'm saying? And be like, dude, just freaking grab onto God. Like, he's giving you the solution, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's him every time, you know? But instead, I'm like, let's try this again, you know? Maybe it'll work out this time, you know what I'm saying? And whether that's a conscious thought or it's just like, happens naturally, like there's no excuse for it, you know.
Yeah,
there needs to be discernment, as you know what I'm saying, as we're growing in Christ, that maturity needs to be shown, you know what I'm saying,
because
that's true maturity, is when it's shown. If we're just talking about it, we're not really mature, we're just good at talking.
Yeah,
talking can be nonsense, dude.
Oh, absolutely. Nah, I mean, but it's I don't know, bro. I guess I don't really necessarily, I don't, because bro, it's like it's harder at work. But I, because like I pray before all of my Bible studies and everything, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know, dude. My biggest thing is like, regardless, like I will not get through unless God's grace is on me,
because
I'm in sinful flesh in a sinful world, attacked by a sinful devil, and I will lose. Like I always lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, if I do lose, it's because of my own sin, right? Mm-hmm. Like my own war against God. But when I went out, it's because of his grace that he withheld the evil from me, right? Because, like, that's really where my, it's like, that's what I love about Romans, is he says it's your nature. So it's like a bird flying around, you know, for him to be flying, it's his nature. Yeah, he just knows to do it. He just does it, right? It's the same thing when it comes to human sin, is like, that's what I know. Like, that's just what I know to do. That's where I'm naturally, by my nature, I'm naturally just going to go in that direction. And so when there's the opposite effect happening, or when I actually really, like, in my soul, in my heart, like, truly go about, like, leaving work or anything like that, it's all by God's grace, you know. It's and so it's like, that's been, which doesn't void human responsibility, and that's really what I've been coming to, bro. Like, that's what I've been being taught, which is lit. But it's like reading the word and prayer and all that stuff is like, that's the fight, you know. But anyway, so like, That was a good little side note, though, for sure. Cause, bro, that's what I was going to say, is like, for me at work, like, I literally say nothing. You know what I mean? Like, that's growth, because I used to indulge in it. And now I'm just at a point where it's like, I just don't indulge, and I just say nothing. Like, I just kind of don't, because they just, it's like four or five of them, and they're all like, bro, they talk crazy. You know what I mean? And so, like, I'm just like, I just got to say, don't say a word. And then I think like a point of like total growth is like complete trust in the Lord, that I have no fear of man, to the extent that it's like I will rebuke them in love from their sin, you know.
Which is a hard thing to do.
In love it is.
Yeah.
I could easily do it in hate. Yeah. It pisses me off. You know what I mean? Bro. But that's why I don't say anything, bro, because I know I'm going to just be like, it'll be worse if I say something.
It's almost... Which, bro, that's so tricky, though. Like, it's almost better to not, like...
In some circumstances, for sure.
Not say anything.
Because, bro, that's, like James says, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Mm-hmm.
So, literally, bro, like, when I'm angry, bro, because it does make me, like, sin will piss me off, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, it's like, yeah, bro, I just... That's, bro, I feel like that's the best spot to be at, though. Like, honestly, like, I think God is working on my heart, and I got to get to a point where it's like... I don't know, bro. You know, I'm not super convicted that I just say nothing.
Yeah.
You know, because that still speaks. Like, sometimes saying nothing speaks a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because they will see it. And if it's like, if it really comes up, bro, I will say, like, because they'll be like, when they specifically point me out, they'll be like, oh, Chris, you're not, like, having a bunch of sex all the time. Like, that always comes up. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I can't because of the Lord.
Yeah.
And then they'll just, like, make fun of God, bro, and I get more pissed.
Yeah.
Bro, it makes me lose it, dude. Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, it's bro, it's tough. So, yeah, bro, but I know exactly what you're saying.
It's tricky, bro. It's like, part of me feels like, why am I not saying anything? But then also part of me is like, right now I don't feel equipped to, like you said, handle it in love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm turning back to my old ways, which is my anger.
Own, but yeah, bro. Yeah, but that's like my own sin. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's a point of like control and power of like trying to like, I don't know what it is, bro. I believe that's what it is, though. Like trying to control the evil that's around me, basically.
Yeah.
And bro, I can't even control my own evil.
Yeah.
You know, literally, like I'm literally like at the same boat as they are when they're sinning. Like I'm sinning with them.
Yeah.
Just silently in rage. Yeah, bro. So it's like I'm not any better, bro.
No, bro.
But it would be worse if I added to it and like indulged with them. You know what I mean?
Double dose.
So at least just withhold a little bit, bro. Yeah, dude. But that's definitely a sin, bro. That like, dude, fear of man. Like, literally.
Fear of man, bro. Yeah. That's been so heavy on my heart recently, bro.
Bro, literally. And that's why, like, bro, yesterday at the baby shower, I'm like, bro, I'm trying to go there and just be like, because, you know, we got all walks of life coming there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everywhere we go, we do. But I was like, that's a place where we can really be intentional. You know what I'm saying?
You could stand out for the Lord.
Yeah.
But what did I find myself doing? Blending in.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be.
Dude, that was a talk on Friday, though.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I
know.
And
yeah.
I was really excited to hear that because it's something I've been practicing like this past week specifically.
Yeah.
Dude, all glory to God. I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I did pretty good.
Yeah.
Of like you were saying, not being a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like not feeding into it.
Yeah.
Either trying to redirect the conversation. Because that's always something you can do when you're faced that opportunity where they're talking all crazy and there's all this evil flowing around you. It's easy to redirect it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or just not partake in it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, even, bro, like, so for me, dog, I could try to redirect it. For me, bro, it's like when I'm around another Christian, instantly, bro, it's like if I'm just like, oh, we shouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah.
Quick, bro. They're all like, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
because we both understand.
Yeah, yeah. Because even as Christians, bro, we can trail off into some crazy conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And if instantly in a group, you're just like, oh, we shouldn't be talking about this. Everyone's like, oh, you're right, dude. Like, sadly, bro, we're sinful. But it's like when you're, like, when I'm with that group, bro, if I were to say that, like, it's easier for four of them to be like, bro, like, that's,
yeah.
And that, but that's what he was talking about on, he used the word, he said it's a made up word. Maybe it's not. It's a, oh, brother, I heard it like five times now, too. What was the word, dude? He had a little equation. You weren't there, bro.
I missed it. I was late.
Oh. It's a crazy word too, bro. I can't remember, but he's like, anyway, the point he was trying to make was like, you can't be legalistic and be like, oh, the commandments and the Bible, because like they won't listen to that for sure. And you also can't, you have to be a person who's walking, you know, has a repentant heart, who's walking in the way of the Lord. So it's like finding that balance, bro, of like, cause dude, and like as Christians, bro, like that's really what I've been convicted with is like, dude, I'm blending in, bro. Like, there's no sanctification in that.
Because
all sanctification is holiness, which is set apart. So I'm blending in, bro. I'm one of the guys, you know what I mean? Like, and then when I come across a point where it's like, oh, I'm going to go talk about Christ, they're going to be like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to hold so much weight if, like, I'm constantly, like, even if I'm not constantly, like, spiritually just, like, you know, like, life's going to have its challenges, but if I'm always, like, redirecting things to scripture and like to God and like, you know what I mean? Like there's a way that you look, I want to look different, bro, is what I'm coming to and not care. I don't want to care about, like, if you don't want to talk to me because of, you know, my love of Christ.
Yeah.
I want to be at a point where it's like, I literally don't care at all if that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's what I struggle with too, because I could do that. And I could say that, but then like, I do care, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, no, I want you to see the beauty of Christ. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, bro. It's a battle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Cause I want to evangelize, right?
Yeah.
I want to speak the truth. But if I guess that's fear of man, dude. I'm afraid that they're going to go away. You know what I'm saying? I'm afraid that I'm never, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to talk to them anymore. You know what I mean? Cause they're gonna be like, this dude's crazy. All he talks about is Jesus. You know
I think that's what we're called to be, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really what we're called to be. Put like, if God pushes you away, praise the Lord. That should rejoice. And I think that's, but it's, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
That is the fear of man.
And maybe even that's a lack of faith, bro, because I'm thinking like the only way this dude's going to get it is through me. You know, I'm not God's only soldier. God's going to use other people. He doesn't need me.
Bro, but even like me, because that's what I'm thinking about is like, even the people, bro, who I'm bringing, like, some of the people that I brought to, just three, right, over to the Grove, like, one of my fears was, like, it's going to be too much for them. And that's, like, a big thing our churches do now is, like, this super watered-down message, you know what I mean? To
bring the people in.
Yeah. And I'm like, but I'm like, you know what? No, bro. Yeah. Like, if anything, that's what it should be. They should be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a good thing if they're like, oh, dude, like, this is a lot of Jesus. Like, because if not, if you go to a watered-down, you know, church, it's not even church then, dude. Like, a lot of times those are just communities of people, you know what I mean? And it's like, but if you go there and there's no Holy Spirit, there's no God moving in that room, it's like, you can easily tell that, and then you will not be led to salvation. Yeah. You'll just be led down to hell around a bunch of other people, you know, in a different form. And so it's like, I would rather them be like, I would rather bring someone to a church like that, that pushes them away from God forever, than try to control the situation, bringing them lightly and softly, you know, having me be the one that's going to give them salvation, and then them just live a whole, they're still going to the same place either way, but one of them, when I stand before the Lord, God is going to be very upset that what I did was try to control the situation, you know?
Yeah, because you're almost doing them a disservice by not giving them the truth.
The full,
the fullness of God.
Yeah.
Because God in his fullness is overwhelming, bro.
Yeah.
It's chaotic. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? Even for, like, someone who's been studying the Bible and going to church and has their alone time with God, like, there's, like, discussions that I'm a part of, and I'm like, that's a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
wow. Like, it's, like, it's mind-blowing. You know what I'm saying? So just putting yourself in the shoes of that person, like, who you bring to church, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's, like, what would you rather than be overwhelmed with? The true love of God?
Yeah.
Or some
worldly
prosperity
preaching
that's like, you're gonna have a good life, that you're gonna be financially stable, and you're gonna have
family's gonna be great,
healthy marriage,
your job's gonna be always when intact.
In reality, it's like, the only way to have those, don't forget having those things, right? The only way to have peace
is through Christ.
Is the truth. You know what I'm saying? The truth is gonna set us free. Finances, family, all these other outside things are not going to bring true peace. They may bring comfort, slight comfort in a moment, you know what I'm saying? But like all things of this world, they will perish. And the truth is the only thing that's going to bring us eternal peace. Like eternal, forever, infinite. Infinite peace, bro.
So we're going to change the whole topic now, bro, because this is way... God was like, actually, no, bro. He said, he said, never mind. But, bro, let's read... talking, because this is basically discipleship is what we're talking about, and it's literally the final command of God, so of Jesus, the Great Commission. And so it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And something that was pointed out today.
What verse is that before you get into it?
That's chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. And something that was pointed out to
me. Matthew.
Yeah, in Matthew. Something that was pointed out was the point... Jesus makes the point. He says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so he's like, he was saying, like, if you're always discipling, he's always with you, because he's always there leading and guiding. Like, if you're going anywhere you go in the world, like, if you're out there trying to make disciples, the living God who was crucified is right there with you, walking with you in spirit. And so it's like, I should never be afraid of man, because I'm... But we can tie that back into reverence, bro. I'm afraid of man, but like, my real fear should be of God.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the thing I was saying, was like, I'm going to stand before God.
Dude, the beginning of all wisdom is fear.
Fear of God, bro.
How can we speak wisely when we're fearing man and not God?
Because we're, boy. Hey, dude.
Dude.
That's an understanding I never had of it, bro. Because literally, if you're fearing man, then you're speaking worldly wisdom because you're trying to please man. But if you're afraid, if you have the fear of God, you're speaking godly wisdom because you're afraid of what he could do to you. Dude, bro. Hey, before we started this podcast, I was like, bro, we're so tired, bro. We were like, bro, it's all grace if anything good comes out.
Praise God.
And I was like, bro, it's either going to be wrath or grace to see, bro, all grace, bro.
Bro,
grace,
you know what, on grace, you know what's on grace. So cool,
praise the Lord.
About that. So that's what God commanded us to, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I've been wrestling with the question of why. I haven't been wrestling. I know why Jesus came. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love Jesus.
Yeah.
But people ask me that, right? And I'm like, I start thinking, I'm like, why, you know, why did he? You know what I mean? But just as he's commanded us to do, God wouldn't command us of anything he wouldn't first do. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus came and did exactly what he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was the example.
Yeah, I think ultimately the answer to that question would just be for his glory.
Yeah.
So we can realize that he loves us despite how evil we are.
Yeah.
Because then we can realize, so if we know, so like, because of how we are as humans, like, we hate God, we're slanderers of God, we hate him, right, and all of our evil, that's terrible and sad, but it's the truth. I hated God before I came to Christ, and so he's in his, and so, like, what's going to make me worship God as far as, like, how evil I am is to see how good he is, but I don't see that, you know what I mean, like, I make up my own God, basically, you know what I mean? Mm. And so him sending his son and then having this opportunity where he basically pushes the spirit into me, you know, like, I wouldn't, dude, like, I don't know, honestly, sometimes I wonder, like, would I willingly accept the spirit into me, you know, because there's that whole theology of, like, we open up our lives to, like, Christ, and then, like, then he can put the spirit in us because we accept it, right? And it's like, I don't think I really would. I think I'd be like, what even, who cares, you know what I mean? Like, get that out of here. Right, but like the fact that he chose me out and then put that spirit in me, and then I see all the goodness and the fact that he loves me so much and that he did send his son and the grace and the mercy, you know, and that I was an enemy, but he did it anyways. Now I look at God from a heart of worship, not because he needs to be worshipped like some egomaniac, but truly because that changed my heart to where it's like I don't hate God anymore because I know the true God and I know he's so good. I think that's really why he sent his son, you know what I mean?
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Because we're, dude, the reality is, and that's something that John Piper does a whole thing on, is like, your true happiest points are when you're in complete worship of God. He believes that that's like your, because we are beings that worship. Like, God created us to worship him. He did. You know what I mean? Because he's so magnificent. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted other people to enjoy his magnificence. Because he's that magnificent.
What a selfless act.
Bro, for real. Like to know, like, I'm God, the greatest being, and I want to offer this. Like, I want people to be able to enjoy this beauty that I am. You know what I mean? And that's, like, the big thing is, like, a lot of people hear that, and they're like, what an egomaniac. But it's like, this is God, dude. It's not a human being who's thinking that or saying that. This is creator of everything. Like, of anyone, bro, he that makes complete sense. Like, he literally is, like, he knows he's the greatest, and he is the greatest. He's great I am. Right? And then he wants us to share in that. You know what I mean? But we wouldn't because we're evil. We'd fight him.
Yeah.
So I think that's really why he came. But back to discipleship. So even with that, though, it's like, so fear God, dude.
Bro, you could even... Dude, that's deep, bro.
It's fire?
Dude, that's deep.
Dude, the spirit has been moving right now.
Amen, bro.
We came with nothing, dude. Yeah, we thought this up yesterday. God was like, actually, but y'all don't even have to worry about what you're talking about because I'm coming in.
Just think how you said that you were chosen.
Yeah.
You know? Just think you were chosen from before time.
Before anything.
Anything, dude.
Yeah.
All these people God has handcrafted and chosen. And then you're saying you would fight it.
Yeah.
Dude, Jacob fought it.
Yeah, everybody.
Jacob fought it and wrestled with God.
Literally wrestled with Israel.
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 The Israelites are God's chosen people.
Yeah.
Dude, what infinite wisdom, bro.
The start, bro. The start of it all was a wrestle with God.
Bro.
And the fact that he's like, yeah, this is going to be... Bro, and that's one thing that I'll be saying. I don't know if people will even get it when I say it, bro, but I'm like, Jesus Christ is God. And so that means before, because he knew all of this sin is going to happen, he knew from the beginning, like, if I create this people group, I'm God, I'm much higher than them. They're dust, they're dirt. I'm creating them out of dirt. Yeah. Like, they're nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we're, like, that's the thing I was saying last week, like, as far as he is our shepherd, we are literally sheep, dumb, blind, like, we run into stuff, like, we have no idea what's going on. Yeah. And he needs to constantly be, like, you know, bringing us back because we just, bro, we're idiots. We'd run straight towards the line if we had the chance to.
1,000%.
Yeah, it's like, what's there's that? A lion. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I got eaten. Yeah, cooked. Ah. Yeah, he got me. Right. But, so literally, like, we're nothing. He's everything. But it's like, he's like, I'm still going to create them and I'm going to suffer because he knows he's going to have to send his son before the foundation. So he could have avoided the suffering where he's sitting in the garden. He was sweating drops of blood in complete distress at a highest level of depression. And he's going to carry all the evil. God is going to carry evil. And he could have avoided all of that just by not creating this people group, or creating a people group of just pure
perfection,
you know, like, you know, angels. I always wonder about that because no one's good except for God. Like, are they not? Are they just, I never knew. You know what I mean?
We'll never know until
we get up there. Yeah. That's maybe a deeper theology, but yeah. Angels, I'm going to wait on that one, bro. There's so much on God alone, bro. Yeah. I'll let somebody else worry about that stuff. But yeah, dude, like that's like that alone, bro, is enough for worship, you know? And that's like the thing they've been telling me recently is like people be like, oh, it's unfair. Like Calvinism, like the fact that he would choose some and not others, like that's not fair. And it's like, you're right. It's not fair, but it's not fair because anyone's getting to heaven. That's why it's not fair. You know, it's not that it's not fair because, you know, some people are going to hell. If it was fair, every single person would burn in hell. Mm-hmm. That would be the fair thing to do. He would have never sent his son.
Yeah.
Like if God, the Father said, I'm not going to send my son and I'm going to just continue to let them like prosper, like into nothingness and then put them all into hell. That would have been the righteous move really. Right. Mm-hmm. But because he sent his son, now he opened a door for us. You know what I'm saying? And then that's enough for worship right there. Saved or not saved, right? It's like, I should be grateful that, well, for one, bro, that I'm saved is like, it's crazy that by some lot of, and then that's the other thing, bro, that I love about, so I'm learning a lot about it right now, is because I always looked at it like it was just a lottery pick. Like, he just, like, God's up there just rolling dice, like, picking out, you know what I mean? Because it's like, honestly, bro, I was like, he's just probably like, because if God puts his spirit in anybody, bro, Hitler, if he put a spirit in Adolf Hitler, bro, it would have been a completely different story, bro.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you know what I mean? Because, like, that spirit would have changed him. Like, God has all the power, dude. He could have instantly changed that, right? But it was that, you know, in Romans, in that chapter 9 in Romans, Paul says it's in his wisdom, right? And so it's not just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Like, God in his infinite wisdom knows what he's doing and why he's doing it and where it's going. Just because I don't have any clue. Right, so it's like he chose me for a reason. It's not because of me, but it's because of him.
Yeah.
Because at the end of it, like, the world can glorify him.
Dude, that's just, like, it keeps pointing me. I'm getting so excited the more I read the Bible because I've almost read it all. I'm so excited.
It's legendary.
Bro,
I'm getting a Bible from Joey.
Really?
A leatherback one.
Nice.
And I'm thinking, bro, I'm going to just start read all from one page. Shout out, Joey, bro.
Last week's episode was great. We love you, Joey. Yeah. But, bro, it just shows, like, how it is not at all about us. Like, it's not at all about the man. It's not at all about the ruler, the king, or how good he was, or any of this stuff, bro.
Yeah.
It's literally the God in these people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's his spirit that has been placed so perfectly within the people he's chosen.
Yeah.
You know, like, these stories in the Bible, bro, like, a lot of people say, like, Paul wasn't that special, or
that's what I was Peter saying. Yeah, last week.
Special, you know what I'm saying?
Peter was like, the worst, bro. Yeah, Peter was, bro, like, John, like, if anyone, we could give some credit to John, right? Because John was, bro, boy was locked in, bro. Like, he was there at the end, bro, standing in front of the cross with his Lord.
Yeah.
You know, like, if there's any character in the whole Bible, bro, which even John is a sinner, bro. Like, even John's falling short, and
they,
like,
they all fall, bro.
Yeah, they all fall. But, like, yeah, Peter, bro, like, and he's the rock, the leader of the church, and he's like one of the worst, bro. He's folded left and right.
It just, they all point us straight to God.
Dude, yeah, literally, yeah.
Like, all point us straight to God. Like, when I was reading in Job last week, like, God was so confident in Job because of the faith that God had given Job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if God hadn't given Job that faith,
he'd be trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
And he was flirting.
Yeah. He was flirting with it, bro. Yeah. Dude.
He was getting real close. Thankfully for, what was the dude's name who came and called him
Elihu?
Elihu, bro.
Roasted him up.
Came in and was like, Who do you think you are, Job?
Bro, because all of his other friends were tripping, bro. Yeah. They're like, you're evil. Like, it's you, bro.
Yeah.
No idea that it's like complete God's sovereignty that this is happening.
Yeah.
Can you imagine when your boys comes up, you've done nothing wrong, you've been righteous in the eyes of God, and they're just like, evil. You're trash, bro.
This is all happening to you because you are evil.
Yeah, you're trash, dog.
You are not innocent. Keep saying it. Say it again. Yeah. Say you're innocent again.
Yeah, bro.
Elihu was like, no more of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to proclaim the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we could even take that back to what we were talking about earlier in the discipleship and in the fear of man.
Yeah.
You know, Elihu could have easily just kept it pushing like the other two boys and just been like,
yeah, it's all good. Yeah, yeah.
Let's get willy-nilly.
Let's run it on.
But the truth was what set Job free.
Yeah.
Because then that's when God spoke to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what a beautiful thing that is. The truth is when we hear from God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All this stuff we're talking about when we're insecure, we're scared, when we're fearing man, it's like, that's not going to save anybody, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Dude.
Only the truth alone. The only way to the Father is through me. You know what I'm saying? Jesus.
Bro, that's a really good point. Yeah. Because that is the answer, bro. It's literally just staring at the cross, dude. That's it.
Locked in, bro.
It's like, you're not going to learn nothing about, you know, your salvation or any of that stuff staring, like, the whole thing, bro. The world pushes two things. One thing is that the idea that, like, you know, you're good and, like, Christ went to the cross because of you and because you're the best and, like, he, you know what I mean? Like, he loved you, which is true. He loved you and he wanted to be with you. That is part of, I believe, why he goes to the cross. But it's really not, like, that's just not it. You know what I mean? Like, you're evil. Really, we could say more so in spite of you, he goes to the cross.
Yeah.
And more so in spite of you, does he save you from your sins? You know, because we're not, like, and the idea that we should, that I used to hate it, dude. I've been to so many rehabs, like, and psychologists. Praise the Lord. Dude, I'm not a basket case of mental health, that's for sure. But they're all like, they're like, you need to find yourself. And I'm like, every time I'd be like, what does that mean? Like, what does that even mean? I'm right here, bro. I'm right here. Like,
you need to find yourself.
Yeah, like, I'm not lost, bro. Like, I'm here. Like, I know. Yeah. I know what's going on. And so they're like trying to like push this, like, you need a soul search. And like, bro, the deeper I look into myself, the crazier I get.
Bro,
I get so much crazier because then I'm like, bro, the further I look inwards, like, the more, like, evil I see.
Yeah.
Bro, I start making up these crazy stories in my head.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Bro, where you're just killing somebody that doesn't even exist.
Yes, bro.
You're like, I'm going to kill this dude.
A fake story, bro.
Yeah, there's nobody there.
Or, like, the fake story, bro. I make fake stories of, like, I'm a hero. Like, a hero in a story, bro. In a story that never happened, bro. They'd be going to sleep, bro. I'd be doing that.
Bro.
I need to stop, though, because it's terrible, dude.
Terrible.
But that's crazy. Like, that's so crazy, bro. I don't need to be looking in, bro.
Bro, you want to know something so cool?
What?
I just thought about this. It's probably not even on top. It's not even on topic. But last night, I had a dream, right?
Yeah.
And one of my boys asked me the other day, what is dreams? What even is that? And I was like, I don't know. It's just a dream.
It's just, bro.
Bro, I was convicted in my dream last night.
That's sick.
Dude.
What was your conviction?
Like, this girl came up and tried, I was like in a pool or something, bro. This girl came up to me, like, tried to like touch me. I was like, get away from me. I called her I called her something crazy, right?
Prostitute.
And I was like, in my dream, this is not like in my dream, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't speak like that. Dude, dream conviction?
Yeah, bro, it's wild.
Legendary.
Did you wake up and you were like still convicted?
Yes.
Yeah.
So convicted, bro.
Never even happened, bro.
Praise God, bro. Praise the Lord, dude. Growth, dude.
That's wild. That's wild.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so
my bad,
that was
sidebar.
Good, bro. That was good. That was a good dream. But yeah, no. And it's like, so basically what I've come to, that's what therapy tells you. And then they also tell you how important you are and you need to learn self-love and self-care and like, trust me, dude, I loved myself a lot because I literally did everything, every action I've ever done before Christ, and a lot afterwards, actually, were strictly for selfish gain, selfish reasons. The reason I did so many drugs was because I felt I needed to feel better, and I'm going to fix how I feel, and, like, you know, everything I did, like, I loved myself enough to think so highly of myself that I deserved and earned, you know, always seeking after myself. Yeah. So I had self-love. It was, and, like, I understand the idea of, like, what they say, but it's not the answer. If you think that's the answer, trust me, that road is going to lead you to way more insanity. But Christ is the answer. Mm-hmm. And, like, I've learned, reading scripture, saying prayers is, like, where I feel the most at peace and the most happy, and where my heart can be changed into where I can care about people. And, like, dude, literally, it's, like, staring at God all the time, like, all day, yeah, being that constant meditation of, like, who my God is and who my Lord is, you know, meditating over scriptures and ideas and listening to, yeah, preachers and, like, their you know, revelations that God has gifted them. Mm. And then being able to hear that, you know, is, like, that's the stuff that brings me peace, because I am a disgusting mess. I don't need to look into myself. I know what's there. I, yeah, know, you know, I know I've found myself. I know exactly who I am, what I am, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I end up in handcuffs, and, you know, I end up doing crazy things and hurting people and doing drugs and, you know, looking at booty and stuff. Oh. Literally, bro. But, you know, staring at God, like, he leads me out of the abyss and, like, shepherds me, bro.
Yeah.
Out of like, because that's literally, and that's another thing, bro, that I came to recently was, not that I came to it, but God gave it to me, like, through just talking with people, is, like, and we were reading Romans, we're studying Romans, and he's, like, God literally, his punishment for some people is giving them to sin. Because he knows that's going to drive them nuts. Like, that's going to be such a painful... Dude, that's the most painful thing. Like, that might be the worst punishment you can get, is when God literally is just like, you want it so bad, here you go.
Yeah,
right? That's what you see. Like, that's, he's talking about homosexuality. He's like, he just hands people over to their, to the lust of their lives. Is like, you want to go and dive deep into this sin and dwell in this sin. It's like, go for it. And then it leads to all kinds of pain and suffering, and it's against your nature and all that stuff. And that's the punishment that we receive. And I received that, you know, through so much of my life, when he really did just be like, all right, Chris, like, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was the most painful place I could be was in the delusion that the world had failed me and the world was going to please me. And that's what the whole cycle was like, the world is what's going to give me my peace, and I chase the world. And then when the world failed me, I'm at a place of, like, you know, complete and utter, like, where do I go from here? Like, I've tried the world. It didn't work, you know, that's why we say by God's grace, right? Because I wanted that and I went after that, and God would have been just and righteous to just let me, like, live in that misery of, like, the world hasn't done it, you know, but continue to try and seek out things of the world, but he didn't. He pulled me out, like, you know, I was not a drowning man. I was completely dead in my sins.
Mm.
You know, when John, I was talking about this on Friday night, like, when John in chapter 3 is talking to Nicodemus, he's saying you need to be born again. What does that mean? Right? Like, what does it mean to be born? That means it's like a revival almost, though. It's like you're dead. You know what I mean? And he's not saying physically, but spiritually. And I wasn't drowning to where someone could come pull me out, or I could be, like, above the water and I could be like, God, I choose you now. Like, I've tried, like, the world, and now, God, you know what? You're right. Like, here we go. I'm going to pick you and, like, call out to him. Couldn't even have done that.
Yeah.
In such deep sin, right? Like, I hated God, and I drowned, and I was at the bottom of the ocean, you know? And then it was God's mercy and grace, because I got to the bottom of the ocean by swimming out into the Atlantic in a hurricane
with no life jacket, no boat,
and I didn't tell nobody I was going out there.
There was no radar.
Yeah, there was no radar, dude. You know what I mean? I was like, let's go for this, bro. That's where like my sin, that's where it's like, you should be out there in the middle of the ocean. I'm like, you're right, bro. And, like, we go out there together, and I drown in the ocean, and then it was God who, like, you know, pulls me out and then revives me to new life and to lead me down there again. Like, that's what we're trying to say, is like, bro, so it's fire. I might have been too deep, bro. We kind of go in circles here with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't really got too much more to say. I don't want to start rambling. So you want to, how much time we got?
49, bro, straight. Yeah. We didn't talk about, what are we going to name the episode, bro?
Reverence.
You can't, we didn't even.
No, but I think all the things we just described is like the,
being reverent toward God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Reverence versus non-reverent.
I'll just name it that. It doesn't really matter what the title is. I'm going to just start doing clickbait, bro. Just name it something crazy.
All right, we'll figure that out later. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Right. All right, bro.
You want to pray?
I'm not actually going to do that, guys. But
you want to pray?
Yeah, I'll pray this out. God, thank you so much for your grace in this time that we had this podcast. It's so true that me and Wally couldn't even speak about you in any way that would be truthful or honest without your abundant grace, and especially coming in here suffering from our own human failures and finite qualities that we have and characteristic traits that we have. God, it's through you that magnificent things happen. God, I thank you so, so much that you would give us that grace and that we could have a conversation about you, God. We're not even worthy to speak about your name. We are the dust of the world. We just don't sit anywhere high or close to you, God. But because of your grace and your mercy, you allow us to dwell with you and be with you in your presence and to speak about you and to learn about you. And you're helping us build relationships with you. God, I really, really ask and pray over the people who listen to this podcast. Just even if it's just one sinner, God, if one sinner could be helped, maybe not even saved, but helped through our podcast, or their sanctification process, God, would become more strong, God, or anything that you can move through us into another person, God, that would be so much grace in our lives that we would get to be a part of that process, God. And so I really just ask that whoever's listening, that they would really, you know, open up their hearts to the messages and to really listen in, and that whoever does listen, God, because it'll be obviously in the future that when they listen to the entirety of this podcast, God, that something hits them in their spirit and they say, holy moly, right? This is the one true God. Like, they truly experience Jesus Christ in his fullness, that it changes their lives radically and that they get the Holy Spirit. God, that's truly what we're after here on this podcast. God, we pray and ask that people would be open to, you know, texting us on Instagram, God, with their problems, you know, that you would let them know that it's okay, or anything that they might want to say or ask us, or wherever we can lead and be servants. God, we thank you so much that you chose us to be your servants. You could have chosen anyone in the world to be doing this right now, but you chose me and Wally to serve you. And that's so beautiful, and I'm so grateful that you chose us to do this. It's a gift every week when we get to speak about you. We praise you and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.